Today is the third day of December. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today, like it is every day. It's great to be here with you today. I hang out to the end, Jill and I. Well, it's a Christmas party time, so I want to talk about that. And we'll get together at the end. So hang out, but we're at the beginning, and we're focusing, right? We're coming in out of the chaos, focusing and settling in and allowing the scriptures to speak and do what they do in our lives by taking the next step forward, and that leads us back into the grand adventure that is the book of Daniel. Today, chapter 11, verse 2, or verses 2 through verse 35. Now I will tell you the truth. Three more kings will arise for Persia, then a fourth king will be unusually rich, more so than all who preceded him. When he has amassed power through his riches, he will stir up everyone against the kingdom of Greece. Then a powerful king will arise, exercising great authority and doing as he pleases. Shortly after his rise to power, his kingdom will be broken up and distributed toward the four winds of the sky, but not to his posterity or with the authority he exercised, for his kingdom will be uprooted and distributed to others besides these. Then the king of the south and one of his subordinates will grow strong. His subordinate will resist him and will rule a kingdom greater than his. After some years have passed, they will form an alliance. Then the daughter of the king of the south will come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she will not retain her power, nor will he continue in his strength. She, together with the one who brought her, her child, and her benefactor will all be delivered over at that time. There will arise in his place one from her family line who will come against their army and will enter the stronghold of the king of the north and will move against them successfully. He will also take their gods into captivity to Egypt, along with their cast images and prized utensils of silver and gold. Then he will withdraw for some years from the king of the north. Then the king of the north will advance against the empire of the king of the south, but will withdraw to his own land. His sons will wage war, mustering a large army that will advance like an overflowing river and carrying the battle all the way to the enemy's fortress. Then the king of the south will be enraged and will march out to fight against the king of the north, who will also muster a large army, but that army will be delivered into his hand. When the army is taken away, the king of the south will become arrogant. He will be responsible for the death of thousands and thousands of people, but he will not continue to prevail. For the king of the north will again muster an army, one larger than before. At the end of some years, he will advance with a huge army and enormous supplies. In those times, many will oppose the king of the south. Those who are violent among your own people will rise up in confirmation of the vision, but they will falter. Then the king of the north will advance and will build siege mounds and capture a well-fortified city. The forces of the south will not prevail. Not even his finest contingents. They will have no strength to prevail. The one advancing against him will do as he pleases, and no one will be able to stand before him. He will prevail in the beautiful land, and its annihilation will be within his power. His intention will be to come with the strength of his entire kingdom, and he will form alliances. He will give the king of the south a daughter in marriage in order to destroy the kingdom, but it will not turn out to his advantage. Then he will turn his attention to the coastal regions and will capture many of them. But a commander will bring his shameful conduct to a halt. In addition, he will make him pay for his shameful conduct. He will then turn his attention to the fortresses of his own land, but he will stumble and fall, not to be found again. There will arise after him one who will send out an exactor of tribute to enhance the splendor of the kingdom, but after a few days, he will be destroyed, though not in anger or battle. Then there will arise in his place a despicable person, to whom the royal honor has not been rightfully conferred. He will come on the scene in a time of prosperity and will seize the kingdom through deceit. Armies will be suddenly swept away in defeat before him. Both they and a covenant leader will be destroyed. After entering into an alliance with him, he will behave treacherously. He will ascend to power with only a small force. In a time of prosperity, for the most productive areas of the province, he will come and accomplish what neither his fathers nor their fathers accomplished. He will distribute loot, spoils, and property to his followers, and he will devise plans against fortified cities, but not for long. He will rouse his strength and enthusiasm against the king of the south with a large army. The king of the south will wage war with a large and very powerful army, but he will not be able to prevail because of the plans devised against him. Those who share the king's fine food will attempt to destroy him, and his army will be swept away. Many will be killed in battle. These two kings, their minds filled with evil intentions, will trade lies with one another at the same table. But it will not succeed, for there is still an end at the appointed time. Then the king of the north will return to his own land with much property. His mind will be set against the Holy Covenant. He will take action and then return to his own land. At an appointed time, he will again invade the south, but this latter visit will not turn out the way the former one did. The ships of Kittim will come against him, leaving him disheartened. He will turn back and direct his indignation against the Holy Covenant. He will return and honor those who forsake the Holy Covenant. His forces will rise up and profane the fortified sanctuary, stopping the daily sacrifice. In its place, they will set up the abomination that causes desolation. Then, with smooth words, he will defile those who have rejected the covenant. But the people who are loyal to their God will act valiantly. These who are wise among the people will teach the masses. However, they will fall by the sword and by the flame, and they will be imprisoned and plundered for some time. When they stumble, they will be granted some help, but many will unite with them deceitfully. Even some of the wise will stumble, resulting in their refinement, purification, and cleansing until the time of the end, for it is still for the appointed time. First John 3:7-24. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was revealed, to destroy the works of the devil. Everyone who has been fathered by God does not practice sin, because God's seed resides in him, and thus he is not able to sin, because he has been fathered by God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are revealed. Everyone who does not practice righteousness The one who does not love his fellow Christian is not of God. For this is the gospel message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not like Cain, who was of the evil one and brutally murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil, but his brothers were righteous. Therefore, do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have crossed over from death to life because we love our fellow Christians. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his fellow Christian is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. We have come to know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us. Thus, we ought to lay down our lives for our fellow Christians. But whoever has the world's possessions and sees his fellow Christian in need and shuts off his compassion against him, how can the love of God reside in such a person? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And by this we will know that we are of the truth and will convince our conscience in his presence. That if our conscience condemns us, that God is greater than our conscience and knows all things. Dear friends, if our conscience does not condemn us, we have confidence in the presence of God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing to him. Now this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he gave us the commandment. And the person who keeps his commandments resides in God, and God in him. Now by this we know that God resides in us, by the Spirit he has given us. Psalm 122, a song of ascents by David. I was glad because they said to me, "We will go to the Lord's temple. Our feet are standing inside your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is a city designed to accommodate an assembly. The tribes go up there, the tribes of the Lord, where it is required that Israel give thanks to the name of the Lord. Indeed, the leaders sit there on thrones and make legal decisions, on the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love her prosper. May there be peace inside your defenses and prosperity inside your fortresses. For the sake of my brothers and my neighbors, I will say, may there be peace in you. For the sake of the temple of the Lord our God, I will pray for you to prosper. Proverbs 29:1. The one who stiffens his neck after numerous rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Okay, so the Apostle John in 1 John today asks a pretty intriguing but also like very forthright, provocative kind of question. He says, like, look, if somebody has enough money and they can live well and they see a brother or sister that's in need, they just don't show any compassion. How can God's love be in that person? And we can immediately go like, that's about giving money. And in some cases, yeah, sure, absolutely. But the idea is empathy. The idea is feeling compassion toward that person. John says, how can the love of God be in that person? So that's stark and penetrating. And trying to answer it brings up all kinds of other questions, like, is God's blessing and his love given to us, poured out upon us, for only our own benefits? Or does he love and bless us so that he can then love and bless through us because we are his hands and feet? I mean, Jesus said your love for each other is going to prove to the world that you are my disciples. So in thinking about what John is saying in 1 John, we begin to see the same point James was making and that Peter was making. Talk is cheap and easy. It is so easy to tell a lie and then to convince ourselves of the lie and live the lie and make our lives a double life because we are living one way and speaking another. James, Peter, and John are all saying you can't claim a faith that has no action behind it at all. We can't claim to walk in God's love if there is no outflow or evidence of that love beyond ourselves. True faith and love pulls us into action. I mean, John says as much. He says, look, dear children, I love that. Dear children. Little children, let's not just say we love each other. Let's show the truth of that by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. And so we'll be confident when we're standing before God. So in other words, we're assured that God's love is in us and that he is loving through us. When we become willing to give that love away. And that then begins to peel back these layers and exposes our own sense of lack, our own sense of envy and jealousy, our own lack of empathy and compassion. Because we can hoard God's blessing as if the supply is limited, and it's ours, darn it. It's ours. He gave it to us. And that, well, as with any other thing, that leads to selfishness and complete self-absorption. Which, at least the way John is speaking in this letter, reveals that God's love is not there, it's not present, it's absent. So let's look at this a different way. There is this body of water in ancient Israel. It's like the border between the country of Jordan and the country of Israel today. It's called the Dead Sea. Famous in the Bible, famous in the world, it's the lowest, like the lowest geographical point on the face of the earth. And we have, it's been a backdrop for lots of the stories in the scriptures. Water is always flowing into the Dead Sea, because it's the lowest point. Water's always flowing into it. Water never flows back out of it. It can't. Because of that, it is the Dead Sea. There isn't life. So, to the north of the Dead Sea is another body of water. Also, supremely famous, especially in the New Testament. It's called the Sea of Galilee. Jesus spent most of his ministry around that body of water. Water flows down from Mount Hermon, the mountains all around, the hills all around. But it's a freshwater lake, and it's a very low below sea level lake. But water is constantly flowing from the mountains into the Sea of Galilee, which then feeds the Jordan River flowing out of it, which brings life to the entire countryside. And despite the billions of gallons of fresh water that flow out of the Sea of Galilee, it hasn't run dry for thousands of years. And it's a freshwater lake. It has not grown stagnant because the water is continually flowing into it and flowing out of it. So John's challenge here is for us to realize, to truly realize this idea of shortage or lack of God's love is a lie. There is no shortage of God's love. But we will only ever experience that reality when our hearts are flowing with it. When it is flowing in and flowing out, rather than becoming a dead sea in our hearts. And that is a picture of our reality, but it challenges self-reflection, self-awareness. And if we could cultivate and learn to be self-aware, we would profoundly grow in our lives. Are we living in lack because we are selfish? Then we are becoming stagnant. We are a dead sea. There is no life on that path. If our hearts can be open, then we will be compelled to more than just cheap talk, a false image, fake intimacy, a double life. We will be pulled and compelled toward empathy and compassion and love. And then, if this is all true, if everything that we're learning here is true, that's when the magic happens. And our surprise will be that the thing we thought we were hoarding is fading away anyway. It's turning into salt. But the more that we allow love to flow in and flow out, the more we are filled up again in a never-ending filling. Because with the love of God, there is no lack. And it is ours to give. And we will always remain full. He will give us whatever we ask, because whatever we ask will be aligned with his wishes, John says. This is a season where there's a lot of giving going on. Let's remember, like, the Amazon list may be great, and all the little shopping things that we do may be loving. But the greatest gift we can offer would actually be presence, would be an open heart. God in the scriptures does miracles, miraculous, through open hearts, through the open hearts of his children. So this reservoir of God's love for the world is unending, but it flows from the Father into the hearts of his children. And is supposed to flow out of the hearts of his children, that the world may know. Because the world will know we are his disciples by our love for one another. We are invited to always be full and never empty. A fertile oasis of love that never runs dry. The love of God for the world. So Father, we acknowledge that. We acknowledge our failure at that. We acknowledge our shortcomings. We acknowledge that our cultures continually try to manipulate us through lack and compel us towards selfishness and self-absorption and try to take from us our resources so that we can be convinced that buying the next great thing will fill us when there is no lack, there is no shortage. Your love is continually flowing. And so, Holy Spirit, are we a dead sea? Or are we a flowing, bountiful, life-giving stream? And show us how to make those moves, little moves that move us one step forward. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Hi, family. It's Jill.
And Brian.
And we're just popping in here together.
We've been popping in a lot.
We have.
It's fun, though. Hopefully you guys are not sick of us. Hopefully you can put up with us.
We're like little popcorn popping around everywhere. Ooh, that cheddar jalapeno popcorn we had was real good. Okay, we are here to... what are we here to do, baby?
We're here to... a couple of things we're here to do. So, we just did this campfire stories for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And so you may be still working through that or just getting into it, or maybe you're done. Maybe you spent a day and you've moved through that like us, and it's a beautiful thing. We also have a tradition around here that's been going on for pretty much ever,
mm-hmm.
pretty much all 20 years, of having the Daily Audio Bible Family Christmas.
Christmas.
And that has traditionally been one of the famous and very much beloved moments mm-hmm. in our year together, and one of my favorites.
Same.
So it is time for that. And so we're doing the same thing. We called out for campfire stories, and now we're getting ready for the Christmas party. And so we're inviting you to participate in the Christmas party, which is to call in your holiday greetings.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you're new, tell everyone what exactly a call in at Christmas time would be for that new person that's like, what do we do?
Yep. So obviously, if you're here more than a couple of days, you know that there's a prayer line. Then there's a hotline button in the app. And there are some numbers that you can call. And at Christmas time, we use those exact same ways of getting connected. And just invite you to call in your holiday greeting to your Daily Audio Bible family.
Mm-hmm.
All of us who are here around the global campfire. And that can look like anything that you want. It just needs to be one call.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes. Not like decide to take 20 minutes by calling in 10 times. One call, 2 minutes, and let everybody have a turn to have a voice, and keep it a holiday greeting.
And even if you're a double dabber and you listen both places, you do not have to call both places.
Right.
Call one line.
Take your pick.
Eeny, meeny, chili, beanie. Take a picky and call that number just one time.
Yeah. Because this is going to be a combined community
mm-hmm.
family Christmas. And so that's it. These are the prayer line. These are the prayer lines. And so if you do have a prayer request or encouragement, do call that in. But do not combine that with a holiday greeting. That won't end up getting anywhere.
Yeah.
Make sure your holiday greetings are called in as a holiday greeting only. So that we can pull all of that together for the Daily Audio Bible Family Christmas.
Yeah.
And then Jill and I, we always get together and kind of reflect upon the year, talk about the new word for the next year, and
mm-hmm.
just reflect together and spend some time around the campfire together. And so we'll be doing that at the Christmas party. But now is your time for the next week and a half.
Yep.
We'll be doing that. So, I know that, a generous amount of you are going to wait till the last day, but I'm encouraging you not to do that.
jump in right away. It's actually really helpful for us because it's a really, really big production. Mm-hmm. Really, really, really time-consuming thing to pull together. And so, yeah, just call in your holiday greeting. You can do that by hitting the hotline button in the app, no matter where you are in the world, or you can dial 877-942-4253, or...
for chronological, 800-583-2164.
And jump on board for the Daily Eddie Bible Family Christmas. And also reminding you, it's Christmas time, and so the Daily Eddie Bible Family Christmas box is available now.
Mm-hmm.
We love it. It's a very, very, it's a very 20-year Christmas.
It's a very 20-year Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas box.
And so we love this Christmas box because it's really, really commemorative of us being together around the global campfire for 20 years. And so mm-hmm. it's got a bag of a coffee that we only bring out at Christmas time that is very meaningful to us.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate hazelnuts. What's the story there? You love that coffee still? We've been drinking it.
I do love that coffee. It was probably like the first flavored coffee that I've ever had that I loved, but it's just a special time and a special restaurant and a special relevant time in our lives of...
right when we were just getting going.
Just getting going.
Falling head over heels.
Trying so hard to be in the music business and...
so yeah. You guys don't know this story, but we were at this restaurant, Sunset Grill. That was the first time Jill and I were in Nashville together, I think, when we were together.
Mm-hmm.
And I took her to dinner. And we're all dressed up. And we're at this table for two. And there's candles. And this is such a famous restaurant in Nashville at this time. It's like the place.
Fancy schmancy. I'm not used to this. And I'm sitting there going, does he have enough money for this place? It's really expensive.
And she's sitting across the table from me with flowing ginger red hair, and I'm just like smitten, deeply, deeply falling for this girl. And so we're just talking, and I don't even remember, we had the beggar's purse for an appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember
the pasta.
I don't remember the whole deal, but
I had the chicken sausage pasta.
But I just stood up and leaned across the table and kissed her. And that was it.
And I got so weak in the knees. Like, literally. People do they want to hear this? I don't think they want to hear this. But my knees buckled. That had never happened to me before. Like, just the whole experience. So.
Yeah.
Chivalrous husband.
And so there was this chocolate hazelnut coffee to end, end the meal. And so we have recreated that really painstakingly
mm-hmm.
and creating our own version of it. And that is the Daily Audio Bible. Now they don't want to drink it like a, ew, you know?
Yeah, gross.
No, probably not.
It's got Brian Jill's cooties on it.
Chocolate hazelnut coffee is a really, really meaningful thing. And we bring it out at Christmas and it's in the Christmas box. Also in the Christmas box is the 20th anniversary reserve, the Southern Pecan.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those coffees are like absolutely magic for like holiday. Like they,
right.
They both work so good anytime, but they work so good around the holidays for your holiday meals and celebrations. And
there's good news and bad news to those things. The good news is you have really great coffee, both available in the Christmas box.
Yeah.
The bad news is they are exclusive.
Well, Southern Pecan you can get.
I'm sorry. I retract. The bad news is the chocolate hazelnut is a Christmas moment.
Yeah, it's only in the Christmas box. We just couldn't. I mean, it's just the quantities that we have to produce for the holidays. So chocolate hazelnuts only in the Christmas box. The Southern Pecan you can get individually, but why not get them together in the Christmas box?
There you go.
You know, with all the discount. And so check that out. Also, the commemorative 20th anniversary collector's box coin with each coin numbered with this little coin card. It is literally the only time they will ever be available, but it is truly a piece of Daily Audio Bible history. And Daily Audio Bible is the longest running 7-day podcast in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a piece of that history, and that it is the Bible that is the longest running podcast in history is a beautiful thing that we're grateful to be a part of. It. So
it's an amazing thing. Baby.
That is in there, the Daily Audio Bible Christmas ornament for the year with the word of the year safe. And it's the 20th anniversary Christmas ornament that's in there. So all the stuff's in there. Check it out. We even wrote a letter and we signed every single one of those till our hands were cramped up.
Yep. Little wristband with the word of the year for next year, which we're not going to tell until
the Christmas party.
Christmas party.
That's in there. So
and
check it out.
A breath mint.
Yeah. Couple of them. So, and they are in our brand new Christmas, our brand new boxes, our brand new Daily Audio Bible boxes, which are very cool.
Very cool.
So that's the Christmas box. Also new for this year. We made commemorative coins for every year that has a word of the year. And so however long you've been here, you'll remember these. But we made commemorative coins for each year and the word of the year. And so grabbing those, especially if you went through a year and they were meaningful to you, having those is, I don't know, it's like our piling up of rocks. Mm-hmm. Like in the Bible, there's so many ways to remember and so many commands to remember. And this is a way.
Yeah.
To remember. And then there are wristbands for the word of the year next year in 4 different colors. Those, we're bringing those out now because they make really, really good stocking stuffers, like cheap, but they're an invitation to the Bible in community next year for people to join with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so check all that out. It's in the Daily Audio Bible shop at dailyaudiobible.com or in the app. And, yeah, I think that's it. So we look forward to hearing your Christmas calls coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And we love you. I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
And we'll be waiting for you here.
Tomorrow.